Well, hello, and welcome to number two of the Teller podcasts. Nice of you to join me again, or if it's the first time you've listened to this, then welcome. And maybe you'll track back and catch up with the first one. As ever, we're intending to do a little bit of fiction. I'm going to do a story today, a ghost story. It's actually one of mine. It comes from a book called The Tale of the Most Excellent Halima, which is available if you look it up in a bookshop or check it out on Amazon. It's The Tale of the Most Excellent Halima, giving one of my own books a plug today. Also, I have to say, this podcast, I'll dedicate this to Alan Rickman, who passed away last week. I used to know Alan back in the day when I was about 18 or 19 years of age, and he was one of the most lovely people that you could possibly meet. Very supportive, very friendly. I was just a kid at the time, thinking of going to university, or in my first year at uni, and he was just so nice. I remember watching him on the stage in London in Mephisto, where he'd got me a couple of tickets, and he met me afterwards for a bite to eat, and very hospitable, very nice man. And I was so sorry to hear that he wasn't with us anymore. So he encouraged me like mad to do storytelling, and that was partly a prod for me to actually get on with this second podcast. I had hoped to do one every fortnight, but it's not quite happened like that. Maybe we'll get one a month at least. Anyway, aside from that, I've also, because people have told me that I really must, set up a Twitter account. I really don't like Facebook. I don't know about Facebook, and I haven't set one up, although people tell me I really must have a Facebook account as well. But there is a Twitter account called The Teller. So if you want to say hello to me or just check on what might be happening with the next show or anything like that, I think I've got one follower or something like that at the moment. Do, if you listen to the show, check in, look up The Teller and say hi that way. Let me know what you think about the show. Also very much appreciated is anybody at all who puts up a review on iTunes, because iTunes reviews really, really help. And they boost you up the rankings and make people more aware of you and that type of thing. So I'd very much appreciate that. Anyway, on with the show. And today's story is called The Ghosts of London.
So, sirens echo. Oh, God. I hate London sometimes. It's the end of another day in the city. Now, I work in a bank, but I'm no fat cat at the top. I spend my days dealing with customers looking for loans or trying to sell them the bank's own insurance deal. I can't say I like it, but it just about pays the rent. You just can't afford to live here anymore. The cost of your own cardboard box seems to be getting higher and higher. And if I didn't share with two other lads and one girl, then I'd be back home with Mum and Dad in Shropshire. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not with the girl in any sense. She works in a mountaineer's shop off Shaftesbury Avenue and is definitely the outdoor type. I think she hates the city more than me, if that was possible. But then again, we all moan every night and none of us go anywhere. As for the two lads, they're students. But one works in the local kebab place near our house, so we're never short of a cheap late-night snack when we need one. But I can't cope with too many kebabs, and the onions make my breath smell. Such is life, eh? Ah, what's with the sirens? The world seems unable to live quietly here. I don't feel as if I need something to eat especially. I'll wait until I get back. West Ham are playing Arsenal on the telly tonight, and if Greg gets a couple of beers in, then the evening should go off quite well. Oh, hell, I need a life, though. It isn't really how I saw myself as I turned 30, scrubbing a living and heading back for a beer with a guy who I don't really like, and finding a takeaway, something to look forward to. At least the match might be okay. Arsenal might be on for the title again at last, and I wish I could afford to see a game live. A group of girls push past me, wearing garish, full makeup. Kiss has sold out at the arena, and by the look of it, these girls are off for a night of rock. I sigh. Do you ever feel invisible? Another lonely banker in his suit with no one by his side. I would have somebody, but it's hard. There's too many people rushing past me all the time, and a couple of girls in the office all have somebody. Or they're just not interested, you know, in me. I swung them out once. Yeah, but she said no. I had a girlfriend a few years ago as well, but that seems another lifetime. She was called Beth, and I used to annoy her by saying, "Beth, I hear you calling," as in the Kiss song. Which is why those girls passing me on the way to the concert have reminded me of her. One memory kind of leading to another. Everything connected somehow to itself. When I was at school, you know, we did this play, 6 Degrees of Separation, in which it's argued that everybody on the planet is linked in some way by 6 steps at the most. I still think it's an interesting idea. I pass the George's pub, and sometimes I call in for a drink, but not tonight. There's the usual group outside smoking, and I give a half smile. As a non-smoker, it amuses me to see them all in the rain and the cold, but also as a non-smoker, I dislike the smell of the nicotine as it grabs your throat for that second as you pass by. Now, the rain. I hadn't really noticed it until now. Strangely enough, it's more like mist, sort of ethereal. It was probably time to get back to the underground and get myself back home. It's strange, really. I've got this sense of drifting almost today, as if I was being led. And that... Now that brings me to the alley. It was one of those moments when you walk the way home that you have for years. As ever, with the crowds of nameless and faceless people passing by with you. And then suddenly the eye catches that little lane that you haven't seen before. Could it be a shortcut? It was very dark. No one walking down it at all. And rather bizarrely, it was lit by an old gas lamp that was flickering outside. What looked like the only building connected to the lane that may be open. Some litter was blowing in the evening breeze, but the main assault to the senses was the odour of horse manure that had caught the air as soon as you approached the entrance to the alley. Actually, the sense of horse was quite strong, and I could swear the sound of hooves was clearly audible, but that way madness lies, as, let's face it, no horse had passed this way in 100 years. None of my fellow commuters seemed to give it a glance sideways. But something was pulling me towards the entrance and making my feet move within. It was strangely narrow, and darkness seemed to enfold me as I entered it for a moment. And then I walked down this tight lane towards that one light. Although the rain was still falling, the narrowness of the passage meant that the houses were dripping, huge drips and drops on me from their overhangs. It was as if they were sweating, even if there was no heat. Rather the rains falling down from above there, there was a sense that it was actually oozing from the ground and out of the crumbling infrastructure. The general mood of this alley, lit by flickering flame, was sombre, the colours greying and mouldering. It felt like I was entering a grotto of old, and I half expected to meet a man in a tall hat and cape. Ah, but no such vision of the night came toward me, rather to my overall relief. I couldn't quite work out what was beckoning me to the interior of this alley, and I felt a shuddering of fear and a great wave of misfortune coming over me. But still I walked on. I think it was at this point that the cord seemingly pulling me in was revealed. A female voice, soft, melodic, and it was trying out the lyrics to a song that I couldn't place. The lyrics danced in the depths of the darkness and held me, causing me to walk up to the building with a gaslight. A smart and stylish girl, you see, belle of good society, not too strict but rather fine, yet as right can be, never forward, never bold, not too hot, not too cold, but the very thing I'm told that in your arms you'd like to hold. It was an old hall. The music sign was actually still present, but had been partly painted over, and as I pushed the door, it gave way and I entered the wreckage of what once had been a Victorian music hall building. There was a sign prohibiting entry as the site was deemed unsafe, and apparently due for demolition. But I ignored it and continued into the bowels of the place, following that voice. The shadows led me through their labyrinth, and the song was beckoning me in. I couldn't fathom out how the light seemed to flicker in and out of the boarded-up windows, as night had already fallen outside. It was bitterly cold within, and everything within my body seemed to mutiny against going any further. But I knew I had to press on. And there she was, a slight figure on a desperately unsafe stage. She was actually wearing what appeared to be a maid's outfit. She was pretty and seemed totally out of place with the surroundings. "Come over. I'm working on a dance routine. I'm not going to mind a fresh pair of eyes." I came forward, and there was an intensity about her, the passion of an artist. I took it for, but I couldn't quite get over the feeling that there was something wrong. Not just the cold and the surroundings, but that there was something else more materially discomforting. Who was playing the music, for a start? It appeared to be coming from the orchestra pit, but patently there was nobody down there. A player of some sort, perhaps? But I had the strong sense that electricity, just here, hadn't functioned for many a year. She semi-ignored me, and when the chorus kicked in, so did she. With alacrity, high kicks and smilingly showing me the thigh and the garter, it was both alluring and perturbing, enough to make me hesitate and feel that really I should perhaps leave. But then she stopped, and she sat down at last amongst the dust on the wooden floorboards. She sighed, seemingly out of breath, but she took no drink, nor was there a Coke or any bottle lying by, and I made to speak. "Not a nice place to rehearse. Too cold, you'll get ill." She laughed, not loudly, almost as if it was put on for me. "I'm used to it. Anyway, I don't really feel it." "I'm surprised you do, actually. I like to get things right, you know. And it's Lottie Collins. Pleased to meet you. I'm glad you were passing by. Always nice to meet new faces. What did you think?"
I liked it.
I'm sure I know that song. It's Tararabumdiay. Yes. You're doing a retro thing? God, I haven't heard it in years. It's for some musical, perhaps? She looked at me puzzled, as if I was saying something foreign, and it was hard making out her features. You know, the grim greyness of the wreck that was once the hall made conversation difficult. I couldn't see her eyes, yet I sensed they would be beautiful, and I hoped fate had brought me here. "Would you care to join me, maybe? A coffee, a mocha, a hot chocolate, maybe? I mean, if you're done here soon, the Starbucks on the corner before the Underground's really quite good, and I happen to know one of the guys who works there in an evening, he'll probably slip us a bun as well." I looked at her clothes. "But you'll maybe want to change first, yes? Put your jeans on or something?" Silence filled the void and the emptiness. Time seemed to be like a grain of sand, hovering forever at the lid of the hourglass. And then she spoke, with that very slight East End accent. "This used to be the Standard Theatre." And then, after a long pause in which you could eat the silence, she smiled. "It's seen better days." I laughed. "I won't change. I can't really go anywhere right now." This was a blow. I'd hoped we were getting along. Now, I like to believe in fate, or rather I have a habit of passing off things that happen as fate, but that leads me sometimes into following things along where maybe I shouldn't. Still, this didn't seem to be like one of those occasions. Maybe she was with somebody, you know, waiting for a boyfriend. I was normally a bit shy at chatting to girls. I didn't know, but I did feel at ease with her in this strange old theatre, a place where dreams were once found. "Are you waiting, you know, are you waiting for your boyfriend?" Now, where did that come from? I couldn't believe I had asked it. My brain must have been bypassed by my mouth, and Well, what that was connected to, I just didn't know. I flushed red and I apologised before she could answer. But she smiled and, turning her head slightly to one side, replied,
I'm not waiting for a boyfriend. I'm not with anyone in that sense. I suppose you could say that I was waiting for you, at least as much as I was waiting for anyone. Time's something of a man-made concept, I find. It drifts on by, always has, always will.
A breeze moved around the dust of the stage, causing as little whirlpool effect as it moved. A stale and somewhat damp smell moved along with it, the rancour of age, as if the theatre bones were complaining about the neglect they'd fallen into. Yet this girl seemed to light the place up. She had this aura. I couldn't quite place it, but I think it was her dancing that had pulled me in. Her singing was really nothing exceptional.
You're thinking about my act?
She must have read my thoughts. Was that a question or a statement? But I nodded.
It's a mad, rush in a whirl of a thing that made it go. I wouldn't say it's not my best song, but it's my bread and butter. Now, Daddy Wouldn't Buy Me a Bow Wow. I like that number better.
It was my turn to stay quiet. I loved her voice, quiet and dreamy, and it made me feel better over whatever it was that I had been bothered about. I could stay here a lifetime, but it must be getting late. Work tomorrow. Maybe I could meet her again. She was watching me, and then she got up and stretched, making to perform again.
I was the naughty 90s, but they've gone now. Everything goes.
I wanted to hug her, to hold her a minute, but I stayed back.
I'd better go.
But can I see you again?
Yeah, you can see me again.
She turned for me, but my heart felt light at her reply. I'll come tomorrow.
If I don't find you first.
Wow, that was the answer that I hadn't expected. I couldn't resist looking back at the stage, and I saw her shape in the gloom going through her moves again. The gas light near me stuttered as I passed, but I felt for the first time in months really thrilled. You find love in the strangest places, and, well, why not here in the monument to the Victorians? I stepped outside and I felt the cold air hit me, but I needed to remember the entrance to this alley. It would be so easy to miss again. London life just seemed to be going on as ever in the main road ahead, but I just knew that from now on my life would not be the same again. I don't know why exactly. Hey, maybe I just felt that this last life would deal me a better hand, that I wouldn't be just that man walking by himself with nobody by his side. Maybe people notice me and I could move out sharing with Sue and Greg and whoever else just felt like sharing the rental for a couple of months. Maybe I'd get a life at last. Strange. I like cats and they usually come and speak to me, but as I got to the alley end, a tabby arched its back at me. And as I walked towards it, maybe it was disturbed, perhaps, in a hunt. It hissed. Shame. I always think that you should make friends with a cat, and I intend to come down this alley again. The rain seemed to get a lot worse now, since I left the main road. It was now bouncing off the pavements, and the Londoners were all making a break for the underground or for the buses. The sky rippled with reds and thunder growled above. The gods were angry tonight, it seemed. I ducked down under the shop awnings and made a dash for the first underground station I could find. Home, such as it was, was a semi-detached in haze. I had to get the local train out to it, as the underground didn't stretch that far. It was a hard commute, really. Underground to Paddington and then a packed commuter train home. Hey, why do we do it every day? I would have been happy just sitting there in the gloom of that old theatre. You don't need more in life, you know, than the company of a lovely woman and the sense of life passing by far away with the rush and the commute. As something the others would do. Greg should be watching the game. But I had other things on my mind. Football's something I'd do when I've no other plans. I entered the house but found it strangely quiet. I think Sue might have been in the bathroom, but of the lads there was no sign.
Sue, of course, was not Lottie. I couldn't find her interesting in that way. I could chat to her, but, oh my God, she had this irritating habit of pulling out the nail from her little toe with pincers. Once I'd watched her do that over an episode of Coronation Street. Oh God, there was really no way I could ever, Ooh, that was a bit gross. A spider crawled its way out of my ear. It must have got in there while I'd been at the theatre. It wasn't the best of places, but it now had this huge pull on me. Spider aside, I felt attracted to it. You know, even though the rain and the hour was late. It was weird about the spider, though. How could I not have felt it going in? Actually, the slightly musty smell of the theatre seemed to have travelled home with me. Had somebody forgotten to put on the heaters? There was a chill in the house, and normally it was quite the opposite, and I craved a bit of warmth. But I didn't feel hungry yet. I couldn't get to the bathroom, so no point having a shower right now. Couldn't be bothered with the football. So the thing that was attractive to me right now was the internet. I just had this urge to find her. She's obviously an actress or a singer of some sport. Retro songs. Say, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult. And if she said she was popular in the 90s, hey, then I must have just kind of missed her during my university days. But by the sound of the material she was singing, she was probably more for the club, retro-y, you know, 20s scene. The computer flickered in my room, a buzz of electric from that little black box that gave the charge. My room had an air of a lack of care. Typical of the place I slept and returned to when there was nothing better to do. I played Warcraft online and I'd got my character that interacted with the virtual world and that kept me awake at nights. Last night's teacup sat next to the table with half a digestive, but I couldn't be bothered to tidy it up now. I pressed the button and the screen switched from sleeper mode into life. I googled Lottie Collins in the naughty 90s. An answer was returned in a moment. I was taken to the Victoria and Albert Museum pages. And there she was, no doubt about it. The hair ringlets, slight smile, long nose, a face from another time, and dead in 1910. It hit me as a hammer. It was at that moment so obvious and strangely it left me both amazed and yet totally calm. I had been conversing with a ghost or entity or whatever else you could call her. Yet I felt totally calm about her. I felt no fear or apprehension. My computer was flashing a message on the MSN messenger bar. I clicked it to see which friend was online. But now here was a surprise, because impossible though it was, the name Lottie was there online. I typed in, "Lottie, is it you?" A moment's hesitation and then yes, it's me. My heart was racing with tension. I had to ask, I had to say, Lottie, you died in 1910. Now there was a longer pause, and my hand was shaking. But then the answer came up on the screen. True. But you see, you died today. And there we are. I wonder if you spotted that end coming. So, thank you very much. That's my second episode out the way with. They always say the second one's the hardest, don't they? I'm not entirely alone today because I've got my little boy Harry with me, who's 7. And you might have heard him coughing in the background because he's got a little bit of cough at the moment. He's going to say goodnight to you. Yep. And we've got a cough there, in fact, so he can say goodnight to you all.
Bye!
Yep, there we are. So that's little Harry. So as I say, he was there in with me today, listening to this. And do please, please remember, say hello to the teller on Twitter. Give me a follow. Say hello. Say what you thought about the episode.
And also, if you would be kind enough to do a review for iTunes, that is absolutely wonderful because it boosts me up those rankings. And I'll look forward to the next story. Probably, it's not going to be a fortnight, is it? But let's say within the month. And really look forward to hearing from you all. And take care of yourselves. Have a lovely month. Bye-bye now.